Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is the last day of January, January 31st, 2017, and we are on a roll of this conversation from yesterday. I still cannot believe, I have to tell you guys, since I decided to do this summit, for whatever reason, when I was writing the books initially, Christ was very, very active. And then, like, sometimes it's kind of quiet in the background, but it's so active now that I can't stop writing and I can't stop working. It's like he's talking loud and I keep posting. I'm trying to post everything he's saying. And then yesterday he was saying so much I had to send myself the posts for today in a text. And I was like, I got to remember not to forget them, because he's just saying so much about the logic of love. Because when we veer away from love, we become illogical. None of us understand how somebody can do something when love is not involved, especially as we are waking up. But then I had this 4.5-hour meeting for the summit yesterday, and it started at 7 in the morning, and it went to 11:15. And just different things we're doing there, and it's just so much fun and so exciting. And then somebody with, you know, we were deciding which music we're going to have playing there, and then someone said, there's this one song I really love, and I'm like, hey, I know the artist who did that, and I'm going to bring that artist. I'm going to call him and see if he'll come. I'm sure he will come. And I've been so excited about this. So what happened is, as I was doing that, I left and I thought, gosh, you know, I'm really kind of munchy right now. I'm getting kind of hungry and I'm driving. And then all of a sudden, I forgot everything. I had to pull over to the side of the road and literally start writing down what Christ was saying. His voice is so loud that I only feel like a mouthpiece right now. And at the same time, I love it so much. It's like when he's that active, I get this feeling in my chest that goes up through my throat that feels like the top of my head just opened up and everything's just like coming in and out. It's crazy. But this has been really such a strong hit that this whole week, there's nobody around. Everybody in my life is busy somewhere. And I thought, I'll do this and I'll do that while they're gone. And really, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I have been just writing and working on the summit and listening to Christ. I can't post enough. I can't post fast enough. It's like his voice wants to reach every soul because he has confidence that when somebody obviously has confidence, but to me, I'm always amazed and surprised, but that when we hear the truth, it will shake it up inside of us and shake up the stuff and attack the stuff that isn't true. Because the truth is the stronger energy of all of them. Truth, love, and purity are like the three facets of the same energy. It's just different angles of it. Because you really have to love and respect somebody to tell them the truth. You really have to understand love to be the truth. The purity, the innocence, just comes with the package. Our purity is something we look for all of our lives. We all say, oh, do you remember when we were kids and things weren't like this? But they were. We just weren't part of them. But there was always, for every generation, its own set of issues. And now we are all, you know, seeing complete black or white, people who are for or against. There is no middle. And the people who are for and aren't so sure they're for it anymore, they're trying to speak out, but they know if they do speak out, they don't have a chance of keeping their jobs. So there's a lot of, I want to say, attention. And I'm grateful for all this attention. Because if there's anything, when you say, all right, why aren't people awake? We're finding out who is awake. And we're finding out who wants to hold on to certain things that don't work or do work and people who don't. And we're all able to see each other. We don't have to agree with each other, but we are now seeing each other. We are fighting for each other. I never thought I would see the day in America where they fought for people who were Muslim. I'm so used to the media repeating the same things over and over again, whether they're true or not, about this whole entire group of people because it is against a norm or whatever. It's been so interesting to me to see this unfold. And Christ just said yesterday, love will win. It doesn't matter who it looks like wins in our world, but love will win. It always does. And we are watching that. We are witnessing that. People are willing to stand up for each other, and we are witnesses. And we are standing up for each other. Every challenge has a purpose, and every purpose has a challenge. But we, as people, are only people that are here at this time in history for every reason that we're here at this time in history. So self-love and the topic of self-love and Christ kind of sticking to his guns about talking about how does self-love look in everyday life. I thought I'd be done yesterday, I'd do another topic, and here I am again. And we made it to like number 6. But how does self-love change us? It changes our outlook, our perception, our perspective, our response, our trust and love, truth and purity. It makes us realistic about the things we hope for. It allows us to see our own role in our own lives. Those were the first 6. And the 7th one was the needs of others are not dependent on your needs, and your needs are not dependent on them. What is important to you, you understand is important to you, but it doesn't necessarily have to be important to others because you have your reasons as to why that's important to you. And they have their reasons why something is important to them. The more I read the way self-love changes us, I felt like people who really understand self-love are the true diplomats. They're diplomatic with themselves and with others. Because once we accomplish, I want to say, feeling like we can accept and love ourselves, once we feel that, we become very definite about our choices, about other people, very clear about what we would want to do and what we want. And when we're faced with situations, let's say we don't like confrontation or we don't like being put in a position, we will simply say, I'm usually not confrontational. I don't like confrontation, but I'm very close to you. And what you're doing is telling me what your mouth isn't. Our actions do speak louder than words. And your actions tell me that you will do what you want to do regardless of me. And I understand that. And so I have a choice to accept that position or not. So when we talk to each other like this, we understand that I'm an autonomous soul and that I have free will and that the choices I make are mine to make. And I make them for the reasons that are best for me so that I can be my best with the person I'm with or the people that I affect. The domino effect of self love is enormous. The domino of effect of ego is predictable, because we all know, especially as we get older, what ego wants from life. But what we don't know is how deep passion can go. And when we understand that the needs of others are not dependent on my needs, and my needs are not dependent on them, it doesn't mean that we don't need each other as people. It just breaks that line of dependency that usually strangles us. Oh, you owe me this. Oh, you did that. Oh, you did this. Oh, you are so mean. You are bad. You are angry. But you are there. So if you're participating in this, there's something you need to learn from it. And when you can see that, that's why one of the things Christ said the other day was, he said that when you're angry, stop and listen to what you're angry at, because that anger is going to come out at anyone who's listening. It's not directed at that person. So listen to yourself, because it doesn't matter who you're doing it to. What matters is that that feeling is there and it needs to be addressed. You become as well not alone, but secure. When people think, well, I don't need other people and people don't need me, I don't want anyone to need me. Well, that's great, but that's a different thing. Being alone is not what this means, but what it does mean is that you're secure in who you are. And by secure, really, you listen, you accept yourself to yourself. When you say, oh, I need to do this, you do it. You take care of yourself in the process of doing the things you're doing. Number 8 was, we do become better listeners because we're more invested in the things we choose to do, so we pay attention to the people we are choosing to do them with. We take better direction in relationships. We allow our children to speak to us instead of boss them around. Things become an energy exchange as opposed to a one-way street. The other thing that Christ said, and this one is number 9, and it's got like 3 or 4 things on it, but he said that self-love changes you, and the fact that you don't need to prove anything, you don't need to over-talk anything. You don't need to go and attack somebody verbally or physically. All that just melts away, because all of that comes from the lack of understanding ourselves. And the last one was, on number 9, was purposeful competition. We don't say, oh, they got that car, now I need to go get a better one, or I need to get a better house, or I need to get a bigger place, or I need to get a better job because so-and-so got one and I'm competing. Or you meet somebody who has exes and you're like, oh, well, she's not so bad, and then you try to, you know, let your insecurities run the show, and they run the show, and then there's jealousy and there's anger and they don't want to talk to you and they don't want to be nice to you just because you're the new person in the relationship, or you're the old person in the relationship. I never got that. Why would people who broke up get mad at their former partner's new partners if they made the decision to break up? Because it's so stereotypical. It's a cliche at this point, but you're just filling the role of that person. But if you can't see that, then you're really, the bigger message you're saying is that I don't know myself well enough and I don't have enough confidence to feel secure. So I'm going to cut that person up to make myself feel better because I don't know how else to feel better. But even while you're cutting that person up, you know that that isn't your best day. That isn't the best conversation you could be having with anyone. And if you're having it just with yourself, catch yourself, stop yourself, put the brakes on and say, really, is that the best I've got? Because I know I'm better than that. I want to be better than that. And I will be better than that. And when you speak to yourself that way, your brain does the fastest switch you could ever ask for. It like goes from the complaining and the whining and the cutting somebody up to, wow, I'm doing that because I really don't feel so great today. I may want to just kind of lay back and let myself just think about how I'm behaving to myself. Because if that comes out publicly, then I have to deal with them dealing with me feeling these things. There's something that self-love taught me, and that was when I initially feel bad about something, not to say anything right away, because sometimes it's for my very own personal reasons that I felt bad, and it really had nothing to do with the other person. And so I just hold back, and if it doesn't leave me and I'm bothered, then I will ask the person some questions to kind of ease what isn't settling in me. But before I even do that, I have learned and added to my way of thinking and added to the way I respond to anything to give myself the time to figure out instead of just react and have a conversation that I'm going to get lost in because it is stemming from insecurity as opposed to security. And I ask myself, hey, wow, that's bothering me. Why is that in particular bothering me? And then I broke it down and I said, oh, because I usually get hurt in these situations, even though I accept those situations, so I must still not have really cleaned that out. And I made myself pay attention to that, and I made myself think about it instead of, oh no, well, I'm really okay, because I really wasn't okay. It really did bother me, and I did have a right to ask myself questions, and then if I couldn't get those questions answered through me, by the time I do talk to the other person, I'm more objective. Because what self-love changes in us, the greatest change in us, is coming up. So hang on, because I don't want to tell you yet, but it's such a great feeling when you take no sides except for the side of love. Number 10, Christ said that another thing self-love changes in us is that truth becomes not scary and lies become scary. When somebody lies to you and you've been there and you've been honest and you've been open and they lie to you, it scares you. Because then you say, this person doesn't see me, or they don't appreciate the truth, or they don't care if anything is true, obviously, because now they're using lies to communicate. And that's how I look at it when people lie. I say, there they go. They're using lies to communicate. They don't understand that there is no energy exchange with a lie. That's why your instinct doesn't respond, because it doesn't pick up the energy. It rejects it, even though you may not know it's a lie. But the minute someone lies to you and there's an energy exchange going back and forth, even if you don't know it's a lie on the outside, on the conscious mind, we are hardwired to the truth and then we stop believing each other over time. There's a person who didn't want to tell their kids about their new person in their life because they feel like their kids have been through enough between the mother and the father. So for a short time, until the couple were ready to bring this on to the kids, the father had to lie to them about where he was or who he was with or what he was doing sometimes. And he did it very easily, but then kept saying, well, you know, I have to. They've been through a lot. I really don't like doing this. But then there came a point where it became very convenient to lie to them, to play both sides, to be the hero for the old family and to have the new person in there, and then made a decision that he's just not going to tell them because he didn't want to rock the boat. But what happened to the person watching this, the one in the relationship, didn't care that the lie wasn't directed at her. She now started seeing how well she was hidden, and that started messing with her mind on how that person could hide anything from people they love. No one expected that. But just because a lie isn't directed at you, when we see people lie, when we hear people lie, it affects us, and it affects us deeply because it shakes up our inner core that's hardwired to truth. And when you have those feelings of accepting yourself and you look at somebody who cannot accept the truth, which has more power than any lie could ever have, you start not knowing what to do. How to feel. How to trust. Because you're listening to all these other people who are trusting that person, and you're watching that person lie day in and day out. It's very unnerving. You don't want it to be. But it is, because a lie does not carry energy. It carries everything we're trying to run away from. It carries ego, it carries control, it carries fear, doubt, worry, guilt. Does it mean that the people are bad that are lying? No. It just means that they don't trust life enough. They don't have enough self-love, so they'll take love any way they can get it, even if they have to lie for it. And so I'm working with people who are doing this currently. And I say, please don't choose the lie, because that will erode you and the other person. Doesn't mean that you and the person are in on the same secret. It means that the other person just learned how well you can keep a secret. Like that. And how you can just lie it out all the way to the end, while your child is getting in trouble at school for lying. For lying. But it's because that child knows that feeling, even though it's not conscious. Unconsciously, that child is being lied to all the way down the pike. And they say, well, I don't know why he's doing that. I don't know why, but we really got to talk to him. We can't have our son lie or our daughter lie while you're lying to them. So that takes away the energy that love provides. So when we don't lie to ourselves, the only other thing we can feel is love. And when we can feel that love, then we can propel into the relationships that we have, getting closer and closer. I see in the chat, Susan wrote, purposeful competition. We don't need competition anyway, I think. Yeah, it's fun sometimes in sports. You have competitiveness and whatever. But when it comes to life, everyday life, sometimes seeing something springs ideas in us. Like, I know that, like, let's say I start posting things and I post them on a certain background. All of a sudden I see a bunch of people posting the same way, putting their name the same way, doing everything the same way. And what I think to myself is, wow, that is the best form of learning. I never looked at it as competition. But then somebody will inbox me and say, oh, bada, 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 and go on and on. And I say, no, I'm really happy this is happening. I'm not the only one who knows everything. I love to see us grow. I love to see our ideas. I love to hear what people are thinking. I love to see how our minds are figuring all of this out, because it's a lot to figure out. And the fact that we have this show every day gives us a forum to talk about these things on top of what we see on Facebook or on Instagram or on Twitter or with all the other different things. My God, it's like a whole chain of events. You just kind of got to pick one and go with it. And I see, Susan, you wrote, some people think that they can protect themselves with lies because they don't trust the truth, because self-love isn't allowing them, because they fear they will lose something by telling the truth, when really the loss comes with the lie. The truth is so powerful that you can tell someone the worst thing you could possibly think to tell them, but when it's true, you see that there is love behind it. Because it takes a lot of love to tell that truth and to be able to withstand that your reaction to them may not be what you want it to be towards you, at least at first. But you know what happens to our minds when we hear the truth? We know what our next step is. When there's a lie, we stay in that perpetual energy because there's no exchange of energy until that lie is no longer a lie. Because once someone tells you the truth, like, yes, I'm going to do this, this, and this today, then you know what to do with the rest of your day. But if they don't tell you that, and then you're just doing what you're doing, and they come in and say, well, I told you this morning that I was doing this, this, and this, and you say, no, you didn't. Because I would have responded, and I would have reacted. And I didn't respond, nor did I react. You may either forgot, or you feel bad, but right now I'm not what you want me to do, because I did not know you were going to be available. We just need to have the conversations that base themselves on what's actually happening and not what we fear won't happen if we don't tell the truth. Self-love is our emotional freedom to do that. And the last and final thing comes out of self-love is that we walk into this new world of objective love, where you can love and not attach all your emotions to it, that all your whole baggage of hurt and all your baggage of greatness. You're just yourself, you're subtle, you're humble, you're happy, and you're free. Nothing is too big for you to do, and nothing is too small for you to do. You just do what it takes. Objective love. Objective truth. It will be truth whether you're telling it or I'm telling it or somebody else is telling it. That's how powerful these things are. Oh, guys, it's already over. I can't believe it. Relationship Wednesday tomorrow. I will see you on February 1st. I love you so much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.